discerning the time. Now, I want you to think about something with me. And I want you to take pity on the poor pastor. He was up late Saturday night. He was copying out an illustration from McKnight's Book of Illustrations, and he didn't like it very much, so he had to go to a whole other book of illustrations, and he went to Paul Letan's 7700 illustration book, and oh, that was a good one. He would use those in an outline that he had copied out of one of the sermon outline books of Billy Apostolon, and oh, those are good ones, and so he had put a lot of work in this. Nothing about thinking, nothing about Bible study, but he'd copied other people's material and done it in a good way. And he was all set to take this, whatever it was, to his congregation the very next morning. That's why they'll call those books Saturday Night Specials. Because the lazy bum pastor, they depend on them and use them. And that's why you'll hear the same sermon from so many different pulpits. Well, he gets to church. He's there in his pulpit. The crowd has kind of settled in, but here comes a woman. If her pants were any tighter, had there been a quarter in her pocket, you could tell whether it was heads or tails. Poor pastor under those kinds of circumstances. Mercy sakes, what is a man to do? Well, obviously the thing to do is next Sunday to be ready and have a sermon prepared to deal with that woman and the way that she was dressed and those trousers that she was wearing, and oh, they were so tight. It's a good thing she didn't have freckles. Someone would be attempting to connect the dots. The pastor actually had a book of illustrations that helped him on this. And that book of illustrations that he was copying out of had a Bible verse. Aha! There it is. We'll go with that one. Deuteronomy, chapter 22. Verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination to the Lord. Aha! That'll work. So when she comes in, strutting her stuff, wearing those pants that are way too tight, I'll hit her with this one. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth. It's Bible, is it not? Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Well, I am not going to wear my robe today. For all that do so are an abomination. And so she is abominable. And she's not a snowman. She is an abomination. So he's ready to hit her alongside the head with his Bible when she shows up. Strutting her stuff. What actually happens is pastors, some of them actually do write their own sermons, and some of them actually are concerned about the condition of their congregation. Pastors with such a burden attempt from their pulpits to tell people how to live. And this pastor, in my silly illustration, is attempting to have this lady dress like a lady. It's an interesting thing. When my wife of 55 years and I stop by, maybe it's a Walmart or a Dollar Tree or a Kroger store, there is always the men's room and the ladies' room somewhere along one of the walls, and there's a sign for the men's room, and it has an outline of a man standing there, and there is a sign for the ladies' room, and best I can tell, the only woman in the store who is dressed as is the figure on the ladies' room wall picture there is my wife. Because invariably, the ladies' room sign is a woman in a dress. So if it's Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 on the restroom wall, the pastor is attempting to change someone's behavior. And if he can change her behavior, maybe he'll get somebody to pay some attention to his sermon. Up till now, he's not been too effective at that. Well, what happens is people choose up sides, whether or not they think the lady should dress that way or not. And they choose up sides over that issue. And perhaps she'll change how she dresses. They'll choose up sides over that issue, having missed a bigger point. The pastor has taken the entire congregation and put it slap silly under the law where it doesn't belong. It's interesting that this happens so very often. I had a pastor friend. He was a nice fellow. I really respected him. He'd been a Marine, and he'd done a good job, and he was pastoring a church, and one of his ladies was in the same Kroger store where I was shopping. And I said, "Oh, hi, Mrs." And I gave her name out, and she said, "Shh, pastor's here." And she points a couple aisles over. Why was this woman hiding from her pastor in aisle 5 of the Kroger store? Answer: she was wearing slacks, and her pastor had Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, to the entire congregation more than once. And so she was hiding from her pastor because she wasn't dressed appropriately as far as the pastor was concerned, as far as Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 is concerned. Wow, there's a lesson in there somewhere, isn't there? It's sad. So many people are put under the law inadvertently. That wasn't the idea. The idea was to get the woman to dress differently. Interesting. The women don't know their Bible very well, or they could have fired right back. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, of course, I read to you now twice, verse 5, six verses later. "Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together." At that point, the woman wearing her slacks could ask for a garment check on the pastor, right down to his fruit of the looms, because no question about it, the pastor is wearing a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. So the pastor, he's not singled out as being abominable in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 11, but he's in big trouble nonetheless, because we all do know that if you break one point of the law, you're guilty of all. So, ladies, the next time somebody hits you with Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, you hit them right back with Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 11. And my point to you is this: you'd both be wrong, because neither of you are under the law. Neither of you are rightly dividing the word of truth. Neither of you understand what you're talking about, and so it would be good to listen to this, the Discerning the Times radio broadcast. My name is Terry McLean.
Patty's Most Important Question was Carol McLean's first book, and that book presents salvation by grace through faith, so that a child can understand it. Now, Carol McLean's second book is available. It is entitled, Why Be Good? The perfect follow-up, because children need to know how to walk in newness of life. And save kids. You know how sharp kids are. Won't take kids long to ask some of the difficult questions. If Jesus already paid for my sins, why be good? If it's for certain that I'm going to heaven, why be good? This excellent book, beautifully illustrated, answers what really are deep theological questions on a very pragmatic and practical level that children will be able to understand. The author's first book, Salvation by Grace Through Faith. Now Carol McLean's second book, How to Walk in Newness of Life, Constrained by Christ's Love. Get your first copy free by dropping us a note at Discerning the Times, Post Office Box 87, Alpha, Ohio, 45301, and request the first copy free. Additional copies are $3 each. Go to the website, discerningthetimespublishing.com, go to the Contact Us page, and request your first copy free. Please. My wife wrote these books, and if you'd order a whole bunch of them because I asked you to, it would really be a good thing for me, too. And so does the Discerning the Times radio broadcast. I made a point to you that this lady with her way too tight trousers getting hit by the pastor using Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 5 could have responded to the pastor with Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 11, and both she and the pastor would have been wrong in so doing, because not under the law, if they're saved by grace through faith, Romans chapter 6, verse 14, they're not under the law, but under grace. Then, what is the pastor to do? Well, it might be such a thing that the pastor and his wife could sit down with that lady in private and say, it would be helpful to me if you would go by 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Ah, using a verse from Paul's epistles, and teach the young lady that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Some females treat the church assembly as a place to go looking for a husband. That's not a bad thing. But you don't have to dress like you're in a nightclub to do it. So there could be things said, and something could be accomplished, because we do have verses talking about some of these specific behavior patterns. We do have them in Paul's writings. So I would not need to drag someone and put them under the law to teach women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. Okay. There's not one female. There's not one male oblivious to what is modest and what isn't. Everybody kind of knows. It's like, I know what heart is when I see it. You kind of know, don't you? And ladies, I believe you know when you're advertising. Something should have been done. Something could have been done. It could have been done discreetly. It could have been done in private. It could have been done in a manner that is gentlemanly and ladylike, without putting the entire congregation under the law. You get my point? You get my drift? My point, again, has to go back to this series that I'm teaching, and I want to make certain that you don't miss this. We've got, in modern America, a situation where people don't know enough Bible to get out of their own way. And if the pastor, if the elder, does not teach according to right division, he's going to put the whole congregation under the law and have them wondering whether they're saved or not, or whether they did enough work, good works to get to heaven.
We have Ursus. We're not oblivious. We can help people so that they don't walk on the wild side. We can give them the right information and help them. Yes. Oftentimes, the man in the pulpit has an agenda. And oftentimes, it's a pretty good agenda. I hope you don't have a pastor who steals his sermon outlines from Billy Apostolon. I hope you don't have a pastor who steals his illustrations from Knight's book or Paul Letan's book. How do I name those books? I've got them right here to my left, 12 feet away is a bunch of shells, and those books are right there. I know what they are. I've read the material. I've heard people use sermons that I could find you in an index outline book. That tends to mean everything the congregation is going to hear is hearsay, at least once removed, and agenda driven. Most fellows get into a pulpit with a purpose in mind. There are honest mistakes people make, and that can happen. Generally speaking, mistakes that come from pulpits are agenda-driven and with malice and forethought. Honest mistakes, you overlook those. There's a famous story told that probably didn't happen that you would get out of an illustration book. This story involves a preacher who... he wanted to teach people about the creation and all of that business, and he's there in Genesis, and he's talking to the congregation about Adam and how God created a woman and gave the woman to Adam. And as he was turning the page in his Bible, he turned several pages. So he said, God gave woman to Adam. And the breadth of her was 100 cubits, and the width of her was 100 cubits, and stuff happens. Silly things happen. Mistakes happen. If you're dealing with someone who's new at this, you're going to get more mistakes, and you're going to have more meetings in the pastor's office to talk about things. That's how you handle it. You don't handle it by throwing a snip at the deacon's meeting. Most of the time, when these kinds of problems show up, they are the product of an agenda-driven pastor who couldn't rightly divide if you gave him a meat cleaver and a chainsaw. There's a church gain some fame. It's out there in San Francisco. It's a Methodist church. And they had holy dancing going on. Some of the outfits the dancers were wearing did not leave anything to the imagination. See-through veils, and it was famous at the time. And the justification for that came from 2 Samuel in chapter 6 and verse 14. David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girdled with a linen ephod. Well, he wasn't wearing much. If all he had on was an ephod, that was a chest covering. Oops. So, David danced before the Lord with all his might. That church then justified dancing by 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 14. And David wasn't wearing a whole bunch, so why should they? The agenda-driven church, the agenda-driven pastor, the agenda-driven Christian doesn't care where a verse comes from as long as it seems to suit advancing their agenda. Sad. That is how evangelical churches operate. It's all purpose-driven, may I say. It all has an agenda. May I remind you that when David danced before the Lord, was so far wrong. He ended up getting somebody killed. We can discern a lot about a preacher or a teacher when they use the wrong verses. Every politician will quote half of a verse when saying that we are all the children of God. And the crowd goes wild. Oh, he's a Christian. He said the word God. The verse says that we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There's a qualifier, and you will never hear any politician ever say that. They're crooked. Most of them are lawyers, so they're twice crooked. Faith in Christ Jesus singles out Christianity. Actually, it singles out faith-based Christianity, which gets rid of Catholicism and about 18 other denominations, if not 28 or 38. It gets rid of thinking that Mohammed has anything to offer, thinking that reading the Bhagavad Gita is going to help. The Bible is intended to be utilized in a rightly divided manner. God, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a product, a work product of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Christ, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When then we put our faith, we put our trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, then, by God's grace, he counts our faith for righteousness, saves our soul, gives us everlasting life, and a home in heavenly places. These facts stand clear and true to the mid-axe Pauline dispensational right divider who cares about doctrine. Hardly anyone else in any other church cares enough about doctrine to use the Bible as anything but a slogan book, a book of bumper stickers, a book used to advance their selfish personal agendas. Heads up! There's a reason why right division matters. Our job is not to use milk. We are to engage with the meat and the strong meat of the word. In Isaiah, in chapter 6, you read, I heard the voice of the Lord. Oh boy, there's the voice of the Lord, Martha. Let's hear what the Lord's going to say. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? This verse, quoted by a missionary who wants your money, is followed up with, then said I, here am I, send me. Ah, Martha, isn't he nice? And he heard the voice of the Lord. And the Lord asked him if he'd go, and he said, okie dokie. Then said I, here am I. So, Martha, don't you think we ought to give him some money? If you read a couple more verses, you might sit on your wallet. Right after, here am I, send me. And he said, that's the Lord, go tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with the heart, and convert and be healed. Oops! Back there in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 to 12, the Lord's condemning some people, and the missionary who wants money, he was up there, and he only used verses 8 and 9 to con the crowd. Wow. That's happened. You've seen it happen. Folks, we have verses that we can use and putting people back under the law, putting people back in the prophetic program. For example, we know 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Why couldn't the missionary offer to be an ambassador for Christ in some nation that he wants to go to or believes is needing a missionary? And you can sit there and say to Martha, he's got the Bible right, sweetie. I think we could help him. We've got verses. It's not that we are bereft of information. We've got verses. We should use the verses that are correct to use. Mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division makes that a whole lot easier. When you rightly divide the word of truth, you can learn a lot about the leader, the teacher, the elder in any congregation by the verses chosen to be used and the manner in which they are used. Again, if the pastor, the teaching elder, puts the congregation under the law, why would you ever think that that person was saved? That's a very good question. For you see, the law was a curse. And Jesus Christ was made a curse for us so that we could not be cursed by the law. It's right there in Galatians chapter 3, people. So if you let your pastor put you under a curse with tithe envelopes, you don't tithe, you're cursed. You're an abomination because you wore that clothing. You're in a bad place. Good chance the man at the front of the auditorium is not even saved, much less capable of leading others to a saving knowledge of Christ and teaching them how to study to show themselves approved unto God. My name is Terry McLean. This is the Discerning the Times radio broadcast. Time for me to go. Do join me again next week.